Today's January 16th. We are learning couples in Tanakh. Right now we are competing with the couples of the couple of Leah and Yaakov competing with Rachel and Yaakov. And when Rachel sees that her sister keeps on producing child after child, and she's jealous, right? This is V'tekaneh Rachel ba'achosa. And she says very sharply to her husband, Havali banim v'imayin meisa anochi. Right? Okay, I will die if I do not have children. Now, what is this? Is this something? Is it every? Is she saying this because she knows she's part of a grand program for the future that God has promised, and that she's losing her place in history? Right? Now, Sarah was less willing to lose her place in history. I'm just not producing this for you, Avram. Rachel recognizes that her husband is already quite a bit more prolific than his own father and grandfather in terms of putting out children. And Rachel is losing her spot in history. But give me children or I will die. Why is she being so harsh? Why is she... Is it not just that I don't have children, but maybe it's also that my sister has so many? Right? Would she have said this? Did Sarah ever say something like this? She's not married nearly as long as Rivka was married before she produced children. Did Rivka tell Yitzchak, come on, let's have children or I'm going to die?
No, Rivka.
She didn't say anything. Right? Okay, I would suggest that it's like it's anytime you give your child something and then you give another child more, it doesn't even matter how old they are. Something's gonna go on. Right? Cain would have been perfectly happy. And he got no respect, and his brother got no respect. But when he saw Vayisha Hashem el Hevel el Minchaso, el Kain el Minchaso lo Shaal, then if I would give a question to God, he says, God, how could you not know what would result from your favoritism? You started it. All the problems in Sefer Bereishis of sibling rivalry, you started it. Right? Anyway, here with Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Right? One might think that while Sarah and Rivka went far longer before bearing a child, right, Yosef was born maybe at most 7 years after their marriage. Right? Remember, he worked for her 7 years. All these other kids, let's say certainly not 20 years, maybe 7 to 10 years after the marriage. Because I'll say actually that Yosef was born 14 years, I should say, 14 years after the marriage. He was 77 when they were married, and no, forgive me, I'm sorry, 77 when he went up to Lavan. He was 84. He was worked for 7 years. These boys are not born one after the other. Some of them are born in between, like the marriage of Bilhah, Zilpah. Some of those are just months apart, right? You know what I'm saying? The birth of Zilpah, the birth of Bilhah, the birth of Leah herself. Anyway, that's the Chazal say that Rachel was married 7 years before Yosef was born. So 7 years, and you're saying I in Mesa Anochi? Again, it's because it was her sister's prolific production of children that she says this. So Yaakov's reaction we discussed last time. I believe I mentioned that the parish of Yakedas Yitzchak. Does that ring a bell? Of Yitzchak Arama, that Chava has two names. She's called Chava, which is also called Isha. She's Chava as an Aim Kol Chai, right? But she's also Isha Kime Ishlukacha. You're the counterpart of a man. Right? You have value in terms of your position in humanity. You're an isha. Even if you don't become a chava, you have value in and of yourself. That's what Yaakov is telling Rachel, according to Akedat Yitzchak. Okay? Right? Okay, do I take the place of God? Right, now, according to Chazal, he meant well. He's just saying, take this issue up with him. I'll do everything I can to make this happen for you, but it's not up to me. Okay? So he's telling her to pray to Hashem. So according to the manager, she's telling him, well, why aren't you? Your father prayed for your mother, right? Right? He learned from your grandfather's mistake when he said Anochi Holech Ariri. He didn't say Anachnu Holchim Aririm. He said Anochi Holech Ariri, only caring as Kiviyochol for himself. Right? If he had said Anachnu Holchim Aririm, Hashem would have told him, "Don't say that. You, plural, will have children." Instead, God answered Anochi Olech Ariri to say, "Don't say that, Avraham. You, singular, you will have children." Right? In the next chapter, when Sarah said, "Listen, it's not working with me. Take Hagar," Avraham would have been able to tell her, "No, I'm not taking Hagar. Hashem told me you and I will have children." When I asked him, "Anachnu Olechim Aririm," yeah, the whole thing, all hinging on just Anochi instead. Because he said Anochi instead of Anachnu. This is not my cheshbon, it's Rashi's cheshbon. Rashi says this. Okay. Alright, so she tells Yaakov, Pasuk Gimel, Hine amasi bilha, bo eleha, etelet al birkai, v'ibane gam Anochni mimena. There's no hiding the fact that she expects that this child will be mine. Teled al birkai, let her give birth. What do you mean al birkai? That's a terminology that appeared in last week's parasha by Yosef. Right?
Two sons.
Yeah, two sons on birkei Yosef. Right. So the Targum Yonasan interestingly says that's the origin of being a sandik. I'm not sure what it means here. Right. So according to this, the first Sandik was not Yosef; it was Rachel. Right? Anyway, our best answer is that it's an idiomatic phrase. Teled al birkai means she will give birth for me. It's surrogate motherhood. Okay, I believe I've told you the institution was quite common in the ancient world, but in this case, we have found absolute. Is archaeological evidence of it. It's called the Nuzi tablets, and they have elaborate laws of surrogate motherhood. Right? We discussed them. Sarah was actually acting with greater alacrity and more leniency towards the woman who falls out by allowing her to keep her child. Right? In all of these ancient codes, the new mother keeps the child. She sends the biological mother free. The Gveret keeps the child. Right? In this case, I'm not sure what difference it makes. The only difference would be if Zilpah and Bilhah had been cast out of the home. Right? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm sure Bilhah and Zilpah nursed these children. Okay, what's the practical difference? Is that, Rachel names the children. Rachel and Leah name these children. As if though they're named as if though they had the child themselves. Let's read. So it says, V'tomer Rachel, Pasuk Vav, Donani Elokim V'gam Shama Bekoli V'yita Li Bein Alkein Karashmo Don. This pasuk teaches us what it means to pray. What's the Hebrew word for prayer? It's tefillah. There are many, many Hebrew words for prayer in the Tanakh. But the lit palel, right, conjures up the Hebrew word plilim. which is judge, judgments. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel really means he stood and judged, and he stood and prayed. I don't see anything in Parshas Pinchas that when Pinchas saw what was going on at the end of Parshas Bolam that he stood and started davening mincha. It says vayipalel means he judged them. Right? Okay, so here she's saying I prayed and I was judged. Right? And God found me worthy. Because when we pray for something, so for you go to your boss and ask for a raise, the first thing is you're going to have an evaluation. Right? So just be careful. We pray for things. Right? And we're going to be evaluated to see if we deserve this thing. Okay, so she says, I was judged by God. I was found to be worthy. So that he gave Vayiten Li Ben. Right? He has given me a son. Okay. So she put the word for judge in the name. Vatarot Vatelet Bilha Shivchas Rachel. Must remind us that she's Shivchas Rachel. Right? So she Ben Sheni Liakov. Okay. Notice this pasuk is saying Bain Vatelid like Pazuke, Vatelid Li Yaakov Bain Sheni Li Yaakov. Right? Rachel in the middle of those two psukim said Vayitend Li Bain. Right? Okay, it's Pashut. I mean, the point is that it's a child for Yaakov because these children are going to be tribes of a great nation. Vatomer Rachel, Naftulei Elokim Niftalti. A lot of different opinions about what this word means. Right? Rashi says it's from the word Paknaf Pesil Techeles. Right? I don't know. I think remember however we interpret it, it has to be Rachel talking. It has to be Rachel saying this thing. But Naftulei, do you have an English translation that connects to foolishness or
sacred screen?
Sacred schemes.
Have I maneuvered?
Okay, so that we have to remember it's the stone chumash, so. Right. Psaltol. Sound familiar with the word psaltol? Psaltol. Pay sama. Pay tough lamed, tough lamed. So it's something foolish. She's recognizing that she's this sort of a game that she's playing with her sister, right? But you know, main thing is she's happy that she's doing her part in populating this nation. Naftulei Elokim Niftalti Im Achusi. Right? So she's talking. She's putting God in the middle of this. Gam Yacholti. So she acknowledges right off the bat. This is all. Maybe as you know, when the good times come in, they say, you know, I'm recognizing. Maybe I'm going about this in the wrong way. Is this really just? Is it just all about my sister? Right? Okay. So what happens is that Leah reacts to this also. Someone pour a little of that ginger ale. Yes.
I was going to say, in the GPS translation, it's written, and Rachel said, a faithful contest I wish with my sister.
Yeah, okay. A faithful contest. Right. So I would say that they're both feeling this, that it's all about her sister. Right? It's not about what they're accomplishing themselves, but it's... How am I gaining on my sister? Because the reaction of Leah to hearing this is Atera Leah ki omda miledes. I mean, it's been at most 2 or 3 years, right? So when you give birth four years in a row to four children, and then all of a sudden 3 years go by, you feel okay, you know, something stopped for me. Okay, so she may not have done this lechatchila herself, right? So I'm dabbling in these Pisgei Halacha because you know they just come up, but you know, with all, there's a huge amount of fertility assistance that's available now. But the when someone calls for a psak halacha, should I do IVF? Should I do, you know, in vitro fertilization? Should I do a donor egg or things like that? Or, so the poskim are pretty much in agreement that we don't allow these things. We don't get into the you know all of the intricate details of these things if the couple already has children. You know what I'm saying? This is for a couple who doesn't have children. So one might think, so what difference does it make if they had children and this is the only way for them to have more children? What difference does it make? Right? In this case, you see, Leah should just, you know, okay, Leah, so what? Your sister has two children through a surrogate. What does this make you? Because she says, Naftu Leah Shem Niftalti. I could play this game too. Right? This is a little cruel on Leah's part because Leah's got her four, and now Rachel has two through a surrogate. So Zilpah, Leah, now you have to do a surrogate too, and equal her. You know, she'll never come to your level through the surrogate, right? Yes, Moshe.
Is Rachel eliciting Hashem's help in this? Maneuvering the scheme. I mean,
you always have very good questions. But you see, you know, the women certainly with the names they give, Donani Hashem, Bishma Hashem, Kibroah Hashem, and so on, every name is God's role in their life. They become very religious in this way, right? Yaakov's wives. You know, in the Tanakh, a religious person, you don't really see. You don't see Yonah putting on tefillin in Tanakh, but you see people like Naomi telling Rus, God saw to it that you would go to a particular field. You know, God saw to it that there's food back in Beis. That's the way they talk, right? The religious nature of a person in Tanakh is through their hashgacha, the way they feel the hashgacha pratis of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So with all these names from God. So the way I see Moshe's question is that, you know, God sort of gets Rachel slowly. You know, God could have given Rachel her own two kids at first. Well, they have to go through a surrogate first. So I think it's from what we said before, is that Yaakov is telling Rachel, listen, Rachel, this isn't working for you. I'm sorry. I feel for you. Go ahead and do something. She says, okay. I can't seem to be doing something for myself, but there is something I can do. I could do what your grandmother did. And she does it to success. Okay. Alright, so Leah wants to get in on the act, and she says she takes Zilpah, Shivchasa, but Titeno Sol Yaakov Leisha. Now, do you remember back in chapter 16? Right? When Sarah does this, right? Both psukim here with the marriage of Zilpah and Bilhah fit the same scheme. Because in what I discussed, I just mentioned the Nutzi tablets before, is that when the woman gives over some kind of subservient handmaiden or some other loyal friend to have a child with her husband, right? When the woman does that, the husband doesn't. That woman doesn't become a co-wife.
But by Sarah,
right? By Sarah, that's precisely the point. It says that. Listen carefully to the pasuk. And notice the text wants to make sure that Sarah is clearly the wife, the main wife. It says Visarai Eishes Avram Lo Yolda. Just say Visarai Lo Yolda. I know who she is, right? So v'lo shivcha mitzvis u'shma hagar. But Tomer Sarai al Avraham. Hinei na atzarani Hashem yiledes. God has kept me from giving birth. Bo na el shivchasi. Ula ibane mimeno. Right? Vayishma Avram l'kol Sarai. So Avram listened to her. By doing what? He didn't do anything, because the next pasuk says, not vayikach Avram es Hagar liisha. No. Vatikach Sarai eshes Avram es Hagar. As if though Avram was balking at this, right? So again, Sarai eshes Avram es Hagar ha-mitzri shivchasa, as if to show, you know, the contrast between Sarai eshes Avram and Hagar ha-mitzri shivchasa. And it gives us the time frame, not important for us right now. Vatitain osa La Avram Isha, lowly Isha, without a muppet in the hang. She took this woman and gave her to Avram, her husband, as a wife. So that's the important point, is that she becomes a wife. What difference does it make?
Does she still get the child?
She certainly does, but what difference does it make? If a woman would do this, I should think she would not want the wife to be, the second woman to be a wife. Just be a biological thing for him and me, and we'll get on with it. I don't want an emotional connection here. So the answer in all three of these cases, in the case of Sarah, look now back in Perek Lamed, where Rachel says back in Pasuk Dalet, Vatitain lo es bilah shivchasa liisha. Right? And in our pasuk, it says, Vatitain osa liyakov liisha, pasuk tes. Right? Okay, you'll see it?
Yeah.
So here, Ramban says this in his parish back in Perek Tetzayin, that in all of these cases, it's the first, the Akeras Habayis, the first wife, who does not want to degrade her husband by just having a biological act with someone and give a child into the family. No, we want it to be if not a loving relationship, at least a marital relationship. Right? I mean, what woman actively seeks a co-wife? Right? It's not the 60s. I mean, it's, you know. Right?
Utah.
Utah, right? Do the women actively seek such things? I mean, I hear that they sometimes are good friends, actually.
Some ask questions. The husband is supposed to ask questions the first place. We accept
it. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason why the Torah refers to these women as tzoros to each other, you know? Yes.
You know, we have the concept of, like, the Jewish mother, so the child is Jewish because the mother is Jewish. I was wondering if at this point in time, was there any kind of concept that, let's say, to ensure that this child will, I don't know, follow the legacy of the children of Israel, he should have a connection with the mother?
At this time in history, it would appear, let's say, consider the marriage of Moshe to a Midianite. You know, before the Torah is given, there's no concept of conversion or anything like that. So it would appear that there's... You know, how do I know? Where does it ever say in the Torah how the religion is passed on? Well, actually, right after Matan Torah, there is a limud in Parshas Mishpatim.
But what was it this time? Was there anything?
Stomach goes after the father.
Like upbringing comes from the mother or something?
This question would be, were they circumcised, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they certainly do.
They're still a priest. Yeah.
And the priest team were not.
You know, the Rashi offers two different interpretations of who these boys married before these 70 nations. First Rashi says that they married from the family members. Others say that, no, they married Canaanite women. We're talking about. Well, they married women that were around.
Yeah. Like Yehuda.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Some Shulchan, it says that Shimon had a child who was the Ben HaKnaanis. That might imply that the others did not marry Canaanites. If they all married Canaanites, what chiddush are you telling me? Shimon had a child Ben HaKnaanis, and that Yehuda. So I'll tell you this. Rashi there also says that the word Knaani, you know, look at the Targum to the word Knaani in the Tamar story, and it says merchant. Knaani also means a merchant.
Like
in Eishes Chayil, Chagor Nosna the Knaani, Oz V'Hodo Levusha Atischa Le Mechron. Lo yeknaani od b'mikdash at the end of Zechariah. There were no more Knaanites at the time of Zechariah. Right? Okay, anyway.
But Asher, for example, I almost bought once an Asherah at Sotheby's, which was a Canaanite. A Canaanite fertility. Looked like a Barbie doll in there. It was very expensive. Anyway, it's a Canaanite Asherah, so you have Asher and Zebulon.
Yeah, well, okay, but, you know, Rachel already...
Such a change, Rachel, I mean, from giving the secret code to her sister to now competing with her sister.
Yeah, things change. They changed for Sarah and Hagar also. I mean, for Sarah with respect to Hagar, you know, you think you can handle it, and then you had good intentions, and then things don't go always so... That's the human condition. Things are changing all the time for us. Okay, so let's see. So let's see these new names. So Vatelet Zilpa Shivchas Leah Yaakov Bein. Again, it's for Yaakov. Vatoma Leah Ba God. It's written like one word, but it's pronounced as two words. Ba God. God has come. Vatikrashmo God. Well, really? What is that? So again, your English translations are going to be quite disparate there, probably. God, you sometimes translate as good fortune. Right? There's a pasuk in Yecheskel where he refers to God. It's in a negative sense. It's in an avodah zara sense, actually, and it has to do with witchcraft and magic. Okay. Now, remember, these are the daughters of Lavan who are actually saying very, very religious things here about giving the boys their names. You mentioned Asher, you know, Rachel took the trophim. You know, the text does not reveal to us what she had in mind with them.
This one says, what luck?
Luck.
What luck,
that's
it.
Right. Okay. What luck is that, you know, if God is fair, he didn't have to give me a child with Zilpah. I already have mine. You know, Yaakov is going to, you know, I've done whatever I need to do. But what good luck. I did what she did. Right. Okay, Vatel Zilpah Shivchas Leah Ben Sheni Yaakov. Atomaleya be Oshri ki Ishruni Banos Vatikra Shimo Asher. I'm by every measure I'm equal to the task. I have as much from this standpoint as my sister, and I've got
my own
four to look after.
Okay.
No, meaning the women who are townswomen who sing songs about people.
Like Levan blessing the Rivka when you go and eat Levan.
Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Let's read now the most intriguing of the stories of these sisters. Rashi is really the only Rishonim who knows what difference does it make what time of year this is. And what kind of flowers are these? So Rashi puts a little morality within the context and the framework of this story. And remember, it's Reuven who is later going to do something extremely drastic for his mother's honor. Right, Reuven is not simply just coming home with some daisies that he picked. Reuven is trying desperately to get his mother to be more respected. Right? My mother is produced by all rights, let's say 4 plus 2. Right, 4 plus 2 against 2. Right. So my mother is, but as much as my mother deserves the greater respect, she's not getting it, right? And it could very well be by the way that she talks with it. It's pretty crude the way they talk. It seems the competition with to be with Yaakov has become extremely fierce. It's because of this next aliyah now that the Torah later prohibits a marriage to two sisters. Right? Even at the time where bigamy was practiced. But Reuven is at the head of this. Okay, and somehow Reuven always has a good intention, but just never gets the job done. Right? So his intention here is to pick up some kind of, I don't know, here also you probably have different opinions of what kind of flower this is. Even some say violets, some say jasmines, but something which will cause a romantic setting. Aphrodisiac, I don't know, but something where just the very scent of this flower is going to make my father want my mother. It could very well be the reason why she hasn't had any more children is it just says Vatera Leah ki omda miledes. Would imply that the reason why she's not having children is not because her husband isn't paying attention to her. That would be no chiddush. I haven't been intimate with my husband in 3 years and that I have no children. Right? Vatera ki omda miledes, bedafka, means that she is continually intimate with her husband during that time. But it's not working. Right? You follow? Otherwise, what would be the chiddush? Right? Okay, so. But whatever it may be, the ancients most certainly felt that these flowers or these additives or potions actually made a difference in conception. Right? There are writings in Chazal all over the place about these things. Right? And Rashi seems to always be at the forefront of citing them. Right? Okay, and then the Gemara's talk about it. Even the Chazal and the Mefarshim hint at this with what Yaakov was doing with the sheep when they were looking at something, and they would get warmed, and they would, you know what I'm saying, the type of sheep they would give birth to. Right? Okay, so let's see. So he goes out into the field and he gets Duda'im Basodeh. Duda'im, I think, are also translated as mandrakes. You know, is that what you maybe have? Yes. Right. This is why on Reuven's flag is a picture of a man. From this, Duda'im. That's the Radak's amazing chiddush about the four faces of the figure in the beginning of Yechezkel. There's a man, a lion, an eagle, and an ox. Besides the fact that these are all the kings of their various domains. The ox is the king of the behemoth kingdom, the eagle is the king of the birds, the lion is the king of the Achaia kingdom, and of course man. But the Radak says, no, it's very simple. There were four camps in Israel, in the desert. The lion is the Judah and his two. The ox is the shore, Bechor Shor is Ephraim and his two. And the man is Reuven. How did the Nesher get to be done? Because it's based on the pasuk where Dan is the Masim Chol Machanos. He's like the eagle that flies over and overviews the whole camp. Because I'll say that Dan was involved with the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. He was always cleaning up the camp and returning lost articles, which would explain why we haven't found so many artifacts in the desert from so many people. They were good campers, right? So the Bamidbar Rabbah says, and it's a beautiful, amazing drash, but it's been corroborated almost since the Middle Ages, is that whenever someone's going to identify the 10 lost tribes, Dan is always going to be the first tribe that's going to kind of set forth. Right? Because they were involved in the Shavas Aveda, so they're going to be the first lost tribe to be identified and found. Right? Okay, so those are the four, but the man is the man who found these Dudaim. Okay, Veveo Sam Alea Imo. So he brought them home for his mother. What? So he should get extra allowance that day? Well, they bring them home to his mother. He knows very clearly. He brings them to his mother to give them to his father. Right? Every child wants his parents to be loving and respectful of each other and supportive of each other. It pained Reuven to see Yaakov's attention going to others. Right? This is, according to Chazal, the moral pass they give Reuven for whatever he did with Bilhah. Right? They're willing to say, you know what, it almost doesn't even matter whether he actually did what the Pasuk says he did, which is Vayishkav es Bilhah. Only there it doesn't say Eishes Aviv, like it said in the Pasuk we just read here. What does it say there, remember? Vayishkav es Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. Right? That's bad enough, but then some of us, as if the Torah doesn't want to write Vayishkav es Bilhah Eishes Aviv. That's just too crazy. Remember the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nun Vav says it could not have been that Reuven did such a thing, because his descendants would stand on one side of the mountain and say, "Arur ish asher shochev im eishes aviv, amar kol ha'am, amen." Right? How could Reuven's descendants say such a thing that their elders say they actually so flagrantly violated? He must not have done it. Right? Whatever it is. The point is that Chazal, who are very steeped in the concept of the ends justify the means, which allows us to lie in interests of peace and there's so many other mitzvah, baba avera is not allowed, but an avera lishma is. Go tell me the difference between those two. Right? Why isn't an essay docha losa say a mitzvah, baba avera? We have to fine tune all these things, but the point is that when it comes to Reuven, Chazal are at least impressed by his good intentions. They're not impressed by his results as much as Yaakov isn't on his deathbed, right? But at least they give him a pass because of his good intentions. And those good intentions, whatever he wanted to do with Bilhah later on, starts off here. You can see that this Reuven cares very much for his mother's honor. I digress. Have you ever heard of a source called the Testament of the 12 Tribes? Savos HaShvatim. It's an amazing piece of literature. Its source is certainly not as authoritative, or not authoritative, as Bible. But as far as, let's say, Rashbam used similar source material in his commentary. These are sources that are apocryphal, that come from a body known as the pseudepigrapha. Right? Have you heard about the pseudepigrapha and the apocrypha? Anyway, the Testament of the 12 Tribes is a can be found in its entirety, by the way, in Ginsberg's Legends of the Jews. Now, you can get the whole thing in two big, tall, green volumes. You ever see it? You really have it. It's quite originally they were in smaller
six.
Yeah, but they were just reprinted now in the last few years. Yeah. One of my sons got it as a bar mitzvah present. So it's very tall. The index in itself is worthwhile.
It's 2 volume of notes. 4 right. Volumes.
Amazing.
Volume
yeah. Notes. Right. So he what it is the all 12 of the tribes of Israel, and here I mean the sons of Yaakov, including Yosef and Yosef and Levi, not Ephraim and Manasseh. The sons of Yaakov, around their deathbed, are teaching their children, right, Yaakov's descendants, their children, the lessons of life that they had learned. It's a very interesting. Very interesting material. Right? How authoritative is it? How much is it quoted by others? It's a sign of canonization. How are people quoting it? Are we learning things from it? So that's to be seen. But anyway, in Reuven's testament, the whole testament, everything he says to his descendants around his deathbed revolves around his honor and respect for his mother. But But when it comes to Bilhah, however, he says that he it was a moment of weakness on his part. Right? You know, the reader might be a little curious to know if she was a willing partner with him, according to the Pshat. Of course, no Rashi or Mefarshim even bother with such a question, because they don't believe he even took her at all. He just moved the bed from one room to another. Right? But according to the Pashtunim, like B'choshor and others, was she a willing partner? I mean, that would be despicable on her part, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't she have been caring for Binyamin, right?
Okay, but she also had to, you know. Right? So the Testament to the 12 Tribes, it answers a lot of these questions about what he did. Because it certainly would exacerbate his deed if she was unwilling. It would be really disgusting and despicable. Right? Okay, so Testament to the 12 Tribes just very, very cleverly works out all these questions. I won't get into it, but they what he says about what he did with Bilhah, he says it's just a weakness on his own part, and they don't excuse this in terms of Leah, his desire to gain respect for Leah. All right, so let's see what's going on here. Let's finish this off. So he brought them to Leah, his mother, for obvious purposes. Vatomer Rachel el Leah, tni no li miduda ebeneich. She didn't say give me all of them. She just said can you please give me some of them? Right? I don't mind saying that the no here means please. Right? Tnu no li miduda ebeneich. For what purpose? It's obvious. Right? I want to be romantic with my husband too. Right? Vayavo Yaakov min ha-sodeh ba-erev, vateitse Leah likroso, vatomer elai tavo, ki sachor schartichah bedudei b'ni, veishkav imah balayla hu. Okay, I'm sorry, I skipped some lines, I'm sorry. So Rachel says to Leah, can you give me some of your son's dudaim? Vatomer lo, hama'ad kach teches ishi, v'lokach Velokachas gamis dudo ibni. Right? Look at Leah says, it's not enough that you took my husband, now you want to take my son's dudoim as well? Leah, let's go back and consider how all this started, you know. Right? We'd think that Lavan would have someone else. I mean, Lavan thought that the only way for me to get this girl married is through subterfuge. Right? Yeah. Okay, so Vatomer Rachel, Lachin Yishkavi Machalaila, Tachas Duda Ibneich. Okay, I bet he'll be with you tonight. This is getting petty. I mean, is this what's going on all the time between these sisters? It's a little crude. You know, Gemara doesn't love this kind of this crudeness, right? When Yaakov first told, remember, he finished working 7 years for Lavan, he said, "Give me my wife, va'avo eleha." That's the way you talk to your father-in-law, right? So Rashi says, "Yeah, afilo kal sheva kalim don't talk this way." I don't know about that today, but we're very kal today. But anyway, in the case of Yaakov, I would, in the very least, explain it to mean that for those 7 years when he was working for her, they were chaste. Right? It means that he didn't do any of that during those 7 years. We're engaged. She's going to marry me. What difference does it make? Why should we wait? Right? Well, no, does the father have her on a chain at every moment? So, kamash malon. And he's really by saying, it's not on Rishiva Voileha, it means that I haven't until now. Right? Okay. So here, however, the desire is so acute and the competition is so fierce. What is it that she wanted these flowers just to have this night with him? You know, she conceives this night. Right? She hasn't given birth in some years already, and now it's like 6 years already, because there's four, you know, she had four, then 2 years for Bilba, 2 years for Zilpa. No, it's 4 or 5 years maybe. Okay. All right, so Vaishma Elokim es Leah, Leah Batara Batilid Yaakov Ben Chemishi. So this works. How do you like that? Atom Leah Nasan Elokim Scharia Shunasati Shivchasili Ishi, Vatikro Shmo Yisachar. Rashi says this about Hagar. He says, maybe by doing this kind deed and being showing my willingness to give up my place in history, I'll merit having my own child. Right? This is far beyond anything I could ever imagine that I would deserve. Right? This word zvul, well, it's not connection to at all to the word zevel, which means garbage. But zvul, mi beit zvul lo. Okay, it's bavel, zeru bavel, okay.
Fruitful.
Many.
Yeah.
Fertilizer, fruitful.
Yeah. Spool honors,
superlative.
Base rule,
T-F-R-T?
Yeah. Balls rule. So, here I think it's related more to the mikdash. When Shlomo builds the base mikdash, says he built a Beit Zvul for Hashem. Beit Zvul. Okay. So, it may be a deep etymology connects all these words. It's very possible.
Right.
Okay, so she's done more than she could ever have imagined. Okay, and we're going to have to continue next week when he says when we see by Yizkor Elokim as Rachel. But I was hoping, and really, you know, I had this two Shabbos as a breast in between, but to reach just when we're starting Shmos to talk about Amram and Yocheved. Right? Their relationship is not developed well in the text, but there is quite a bit in rabbinic literature about their relationship, and we'll base it on certain psukim, maybe even some in Divrei Yamim, but in Parshas Pinchas. But we'll do some. I just want to finish up with the name of Yosef next week. And then we'll go right into. I do want to say a nice little trash on when Yosef says the same words that Yaakov used. Hatachas Elokim Anochi Hashem Imna. You know, when the brothers confronted him, he uses a similar terminology. I want to do that. Just the name of Yosef, that connection, and then we'll go into Shmos if that's okay next week. Okay. Great, everybody. Great to see you again. We'll have Mara next door.
How was your trip?
Beautiful. Thank
you.
Oh, we also have to do Binyamin's name. We want to do Binyamin's name. Oh, my goodness, they all grow so much. Oh, it's amazing. I've never seen such a beautiful. And every brush had like 5 minutes of singing and dancing.
I was invited out to the to get invited out.
So
I know
who invited out of
so it's whichever way is better.
Oh boy.
The daim are not called poppies, are they?
Poppies? No, I never saw them.
Yeah. There's a song in Israel.
Yeah. Poppies, yeah. Okay.
Vakov is going later on, is going to Baal's Gul in the north. There is, I would see Baal Bet, Baal and Baal.
Interesting, his wife is Ezevel, you know. That's his wife's name.
Alan?
Yes.
And they have 70 children. So maybe not his wife. His wife.
Which are the kind of reinforcers?